you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's time for another Benny J bonus interview, brought to you in part by SEIU Healthcare, Illinois, Indiana, the Chicago Federation of Labor, the Chicago Teachers Union, and Chicago Reader.
Bonus time in the Ben Drosky Show. As I speak, it is what? Oh, Thursday, January 19th, 2023. What is the news and the headlines today? Well, let's just start with this headline. It has nothing to do with the city of Chicago, but it's what's going on in the world, and it's on my mind. It's probably somewhere in the back of my distinguished guest's mind. Trump's allies in House win pivotal posts. Powers of investigation handed to far right. Wow, this is all about Kevin McCarthy becoming Speaker of the House, largely because he pretty much promised the world the extreme MAGAites. I say extreme MAGAites like there's a difference between a MAGA person of the Marjorie Taylor Greene persuasion and one of just your, I don't know, Mary Miller persuasion here in the state of Illinois, when really they're all kind of cut from the same cloth. But I'm going to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, there was an insurrection in January 6th where Trumpists took over the Capitol to try to threaten Mike Pence and the Senate and the Congress into stealing the election from Joe Biden and handing it over to Donald Trump. They failed in that effort, but in some ways they succeeded because 2 years later they have taken over Congress. It's a very upsetting moment, very frightening moment, perilous moment, I would say, for democracy in this country. Because these people don't believe in democracy. They believe in might is right and their way is the only way. And they believe whatever lies they tell themselves. I'm not even sure they believe the lies they tell themselves. They just keep repeating those lies. Anyway, that's what's going on in the national news. And I am now going to ask my distinguished guest to introduce herself. So, distinguished guest, introduce yourself.
Hello, Ben Drosky. This is Lenny Manah Hoppenworth. And I'm running for 48th Ward, Alderwoman, and it's really great to be here.
Yes, it's really great to have you, Lenny. And part of the reason I chose to begin with the introduction I began with is that folks who've listened to my podcast for a while will recognize Lenny's name. She was a regular on this show talking about the fight against MAGA. Since the moment Donald Trump got elected in 2016, Lenny was on the front lines here in the city of Chicago, trying to build like a network of resistance against MAGA. And not only would she come on the show and talk to me about what's going on with indivisibles in Chicago and in Illinois, but she would always be connecting me to people outside of Chicago, like allies in this larger struggle, folks downstate, upstate, in Wisconsin, Michigan, frontline Lenny, I called her, and a really valuable asset to my show and someone that I really appreciate. I have much gratitude for. I had to say that, Lenny. We began the show because now you're on a local level. You're running for Alderwoman of the 48th Ward. And in some ways, it may be hard for people to understand that transition between being on the front lines of the resistance against Trump and running locally. So why don't you just comment a little bit about that at the outset? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, of course, 2016 happened, and I don't know where you were, but I was sitting on my couch with my kids watching the election results come in and literally watching my TV turn from blue to red and feeling really alone, you know, what to do. And I got active. I brought 10,000 people with me from Illinois to DC and back for the Women's March. In fact, it's 6 years almost to the day, right? And weirdly, we women and people who have, you know, we have less, even less rights than we did back then, which is just wild, Ben. This is wild. This is the world that we live in today. But we also know that all the things that we're talking about back then is accelerated now. And what is hopeful to me, though, Ben, is that people are seeing more and more that our struggles are interrelated and interconnected. I was really grateful to have stood up an indivisible statewide group, Indivisible Illinois, the one that you were talking about, to connect with people across the state, like Sarah Bingaman and Candace Davis, you know, all of them at Worthington, Scott Cross, all of those across the state who can talk about ways that we can resist an administration of hate, because it's not just one group of people whose rights were under attack. It was everybody. You know, in Chicago, we stood up when they had the Muslim ban, and we went out into the streets to protect our neighbors and at the airports. And we did it again with healthcare when they wanted to take it away, right? And we watched our disability neighbors chain themselves, you know, to the steps of Capitol buildings when they wanted to repeal Obamacare. And then we did it again when they wanted, and they did, they have struck down our rights to abortions. And in Illinois, we are doing all that we can to protect our borders, to make ourselves sanctuary to anybody who needs an abortion, because that's who we are. That's who our leadership is. And that's why I'm glad to live in Illinois. But now that I'm running for alderwoman, I'm calling myself Alderwoman Bendrovsky because I can right now. I am running for alderwoman in the 48th ward. In fact, I wanted to share with you, I don't know if you know this, but the 48th ward sent one of the first women to city council in 1971 and has been led by many women throughout the years. So this ward has been led by, for instance, Kathy Osterman, who is a champion of the Human Rights Ordinance in Chicago and is in the LGBTQ plus Hall of Fame because of her work with that. I live in Andersonville, which is a blue bubble in the world. We are I don't know if you know this, but we are the second coolest place to live in the world right now. We also want to be the second coolest, behind Copenhagen.
Copenhagen's first. Okay. I didn't even, who made the list, by the way?
Time out. But anyway, we want to be not just cool. We want to be the most welcoming. You know, it starts here. It starts local. And that's why I'm really excited to run for alderwoman in the 48th ward. Because look, as an alderwoman, I would represent everyone. It's a nonpartisan race. It means that it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. In fact, I've met Democrats, of course, because we live in the 48th ward, which is basically Devon to parts of Uptown and then Clark Street to the lakefront. And, you know, my congressional representative is Jan Schakowsky, and my state representative is Kelly Cassidy, and my committee woman is Carol Ronan, you know. And so we have all of these progressive leaders in this ward, but it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. As an alderwoman, I would represent you. And that's really the job of an alderperson, an alderwoman, to represent everybody, no matter who you are, how much money you have, what you do for a living, how well you're connected, if you're not connected at all to a political person. And it speaks to the fact that really community is at the center when it comes down to local politics and your networks. I did that at the statewide level, connecting people like you to places beyond our borders so that we could fight for our democracy at the federal level. And we could have to continue to do that today. But we know that the real fight of it is locally. And we see that every day in our school systems, our public school systems across the nation. We see that in our suburbs, not too far away from me, you know, with a lot of misinformation and disinformation that's coming out and that's seeping out from media, you know, and into social media. We have a lot of fights on our hands, but we can do this at our dinner tables, at the schools, in our classrooms to fight disinformation. And we're doing it every day here because there are a lot of things that we need to fix. We need to make sure that people have the things that they need to not only survive, but to thrive. And I'm talking about, you know, this article that just came out in New York Times talking about the mother of the children. Did you hear about this in Detroit? She went through a mental health crisis, mm-hmm. Ben, and she took her kids out and the weather got so cold that, yeah, she did not know where to go for help. This is wrong. She ended up dying with two of her children. Thankfully, the third one is still alive and could get help. But this is a manifestation of systems that have been broke for too long. And COVID has just accelerated the issues that we have. So we are in a crisis right now nationally. And we know what's happening. You know what's happening at the national level. You know, are we even going to have a working government right now? You know, or is it going to shut down? You're talking about the budget. We live in Chicago where things are amazing. And I love it here. Everybody that I talk to at the doors have said, I love it here. I don't want to move out of the 48th Ward. You know, they either say I've been here for generations or I just moved here and I don't want to leave. We are one of the most dense and diverse wards in Chicago with maybe one of the highest populations of LGBTQ people who live in this ward. And it's for a reason. It's because we open our doors and we welcome everybody. And that's the way that we want it to stay.
All right. Yeah, I lost you a little bit there. But let me break in and sort of like center us on the reality of Chicago politics. I do believe that Chicago is, all these years I've been criticizing Chicago, is actually far more democratic, a small d, than let's say Washington is right now with MAGA. MAGA does not believe in democracy. They just want MAGA to win always, even when they lose. So here we are in the city of Chicago, where people more or less abide by the results of the election. We have a thriving democracy in regards to almost every ward in the city. I think four wards are, there's no opposition, but almost every other ward has a whole contingent of candidates running. Now, your ward, the 48th Ward, for years was represented by a gentleman named Harry Osterman, whose mother, you already alluded to, was a previous alderman. He had many terms where he was ran unopposed. And the people got comfortable with Osterman as the alderman. He's decided he wasn't going to run again. I think there's eight candidates in the race. I think I got that right. And so it's why?
There's 10.
10. Okay, my bad. I apologize. 10. I was corrected by Lenny. Not the first time Lenny has corrected me. So there's 10 candidates. Wide open race in Andersonville in the 48th Ward on the north side of Chicago. So here's my first question. There's a multitude of issues we can get into. But I ask this question of every alderman and candidate who's running. Alderman, in many ways, is a job that you just get clobbered at. Like you get blamed for everything that's wrong, and you very rarely get praised for anything that even remotely resembles being right. People will call you, they'll know your name, they won't know their state senator or their state rep's name. Any little problem, they will call Alderwoman Lenny. And that's just the reality. And if they get mad, I just saw this, these people in the 47th Ward, they wanted to put lights in Wells Park, and ultimately the park district turned them down, and they're all mad at Matt Martin, the alderman. They're all mad at Matt Martin because they didn't get their way. I'm mad. So if anything goes wrong, they're going to be mad at Alderwoman Lenny. Why would you want this job, Lenny?
Oh, Ben, I really want this job. I'm like, you know, I quit working at the Reader so that I could be a candidate for this job. You know, the fact that I had to raise so much money. And I'm glad you brought up Matt Martin, because he's my hero for bringing up campaign finance reform, you know, because that is one of the ways that you keep good people from running, because you have to raise so much money into the system. But I want to be alder person because I want to be an alderwoman, because this, it matters. Representation matters. It doesn't matter what your issue is. It matters how it's addressed, in my opinion, because 10 people are running, Ben, and it's awesome. It's kind of a testament to all the work that Indivisible IL9 and Indivisible IL Vote and Indivisible Illinois has been doing the last 6 years, getting people registered to vote, Ben, but not just registered to vote, getting people out to vote. And not just getting people out to vote, getting the electorate engaged in and educated about who's running and what's on the ballot, you know, and speaking to, you know, the resources that are available out there from the grassroots, including our friend Stephanie Scora with Girl I Guess Guide. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we have been sharing around for years now to get people engaged in every election, because, you know, our municipal election is on February 28th in the middle of winter. Who's going to want to go out and vote in the middle of winter for what is a municipal election anyway? You know, it matters. Every election, and this one is going to be even more historic than all of those unopposed elections that you're talking about, that here you were talking about with our current alderperson. This is going to be the first in many, many years that the 48th Ward is going to have a choice of 10 people. I'm the best candidate, Ben Jarofsky, and my name is the longest on the ballot.
All right.
I want to say that, look, we might have a chance to have a chance to vote on the mayor of your choice, and also a third of city council is leaving, right? So it's going to matter for you to get out and vote. And that's really been the message that I've been talking about for many years now. Get out and vote. And get yourself educated about who's on the ballot, including the new police district councils, which is the first in the nation, that we are going to be able to elect three of our community representatives in each of the police districts in the city of Chicago. And that's the first in the nation. Historic. I want to be a part of that, Ben. I'm running because I want to be a part of history. It matters.
All right. So let's break away from that and get into some of the individual issues. As I told you before we started, just last night I was moderating a forum in the 30th Ward for candidates. Again, it's an open seat. The young, similar to yours, the incumbent, in that case, Ariel Boyas, is stepping down. And these are just the pivotal ward-wide issues that I hear everywhere I go. So we'll start with the obvious one, crime. Crime, policing, and criminal justice. What would you as Alderwoman Lenny do to cut back on crime in the city of Chicago?
Well, you know, firstly, I wanted to say that one of the jobs of the alder women is to protect the interests of the ward, right? And one of the things that I want to do is protect the very cool features and of the unique characteristics of all of our neighborhoods. Like even in our ward, we have many different neighborhoods. And so additionally to that, I am a representative from my ward into city council along with 49 others. And together we vote on the city budget. And currently our city budget, 40% of it goes to policing. And yet people are, when they're talking about public safety right now, not everybody feels safe, number one. And two, when people are talking about public safety, it's not necessarily in the way of crime. It's also talking about how you get around the city of Chicago. For instance, I'm thinking of bikers, and too many children have been hit, basically, and who have died. And we just had one in Uptown not too long ago. A child died because there was a truck in the bike lane. So public safety means a lot. But in terms of crime, we can't ignore the fact that people are reporting on crimes that are happening on the north side, and they're saying things like, you know, I've been here for 30 years and it was bad before and it got good. And now it's getting worse again. But who knows, you know, what kind of news diet they might be, you know, having, including the option to listen to all the posts, you know, on so many different social media platforms, including Nextdoor, right? Every single thing that happens. But also, regardless of that fact, we are still in this COVID journey. And so everybody across the nation, across the globe, is still feeling the impact. And many people are unstable. We see it because people are living in the streets, Ben. They're living on the CTA, Ben. They're living on the streets. And the fact that there is crime that is happening and that is being reported on, it points to what are we going to do as a city about this? And that's the reason why I'm excited to talk about the new police district councils for the Empowering Communities for Public Safety, which everybody is going to get to vote on February 28th. There's three district council members that you could vote on it on your ballot, according to where you live, and it will be by police district. So that's very, very new on your ballot. And those folks are going to be the ones that are going to be leading the way in talking about public safety from the ground up. Because as I said, in our ward alone, we have many different villages. In fact, I think we have at least 19 different block clubs, and there are so many condo associations. And as you know, the city can change its personality if you just turn the corner block by block. So when you're talking about, you know, how is it that we're going to keep each other safe? Communities keep each other safe by having strong communities, and having strong communities will make us safer and also take care of all of us. If we take care of everybody in our community, including housing, including healthcare, and healthcare, including mental health supports. And I'm thinking about the woman with the family in Detroit who froze to death because she couldn't find, or she couldn't have access. She didn't get access to the mental supports that she needed. And we can prevent that from happening if we just created a better system for people to plug in and to create communities where people understand where to turn to when something happens, including when you have a mental health crisis. You know, mental health, it's in my family, we didn't really talk about mental health in the way that everybody goes through things. You can get a mental health provider. Nowadays, it's taking care of yourself is really important. We talk about it in schools. We talk about it at the city level, but we still don't have the structures in place to really keep. I'm thinking about my friend, Ben, who is a dancer. And we have a lot of great memories dancing together, but she was in crises, and I took her from her home. I brought her to my neighborhood, and we had meal, and you know, cigarettes and all of this stuff. But then where do you go from there? You know, she's in crises. She can't come home with me. I'm a physical therapist. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a counselor. And so as she's having a crisis in the middle of Andersonville, what do you do? And so I'm calling my social worker friends. It's a Sunday, by the way, right? It's in the middle of COVID, right? It's getting late. It's starting to rain. She's in crisis. I don't know what to do. And so my friend said, Lenny, at this point, you've done all you can. You have to call 911. And so I did. And so what happened is I really don't want to call you, but my friend is in crisis, and I really appreciate it if somebody could come out who has training in crisis intervention, right? And so what happened is that the cop car comes around the corner quickly, too fast, parks in the middle of the street with the lights on, and of course she sees it, and this makes you worse because she's lucid enough to say, you know, I'm okay. I didn't do anything wrong. You can't arrest me. And then the cops are standing there saying to me, what do you want me to do, Lenny? We're not in the business of sweeping people off the street. This is the gap that we need to address. The cop said to me, we don't work for those people that you called, you know, the nonprofit people. There's no connection there. I said, what do you want me to do about it? And they said, what do you want me to do about it? I said, well, what what do you want me to do about it? And they said, you know what? You should call your alderman. You should call your alderman and see what he says. Well, you know, since then, there has been a statewide, I don't know if you know.
A friend of yours was having a breakdown on the streets of Edgewater, and the police, this is my point. What would Harry Osterman, that was the alderman, what would he do?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that people,
social worker either.
Well, yes. I mean, that's the same thing as, you know, you get crimed in the middle of the night. Who are you going to call? Are you going to call your alderwoman? I mean, this is the reason why we have systems, so that we can understand what everyone does, so that we can work together. And so the job of an alderwoman is to work with all the parts of the system so that everybody is getting what they need. I don't know. Like, even the cops were like, look, we're taking the trainings. We're doing all that we can. You know, right now, law enforcement has maybe one of the highest rates of suicide. And that's not cool. You know, we have to take care of ourselves. And that includes law enforcement. You know, everybody needs mental health support. We all do. But when it comes down to, you know, somebody on the street with who has a gun and who doesn't have a gun, and, you know, and how you wield it, and who has authority to use, you know, weapons. We need to talk about this, Ben, and we aren't doing it fast enough. People are, you know, getting lost because they're getting lost in the system. I think about our dear friend who worked at the Chicago Reader, Black trans activist. You know, she worked for Chicago Therapy Collective, and she worked for trans rights, and she went missing, Ben, and the community stood up and did search parties and looked for her. And we still don't know exactly what the story is, but I miss her. I miss her. We have to do better. We have to prevent deaths from happening. And we as a society should do it right now, because people are asking for it. And as alderwoman, I would do that. I would listen to what people have to say and see what is it that we have in place already, and what is it that we can do better. The city has a whole strategy for, you know, for trauma-informed care. It's laid out really nicely on a website. How are we implementing that at a citywide level, and also at a ward level, so that every person understands, including our public school system, including our libraries, including our chambers of commerce, you know, who are saying, look, Lenny, we're trying really hard and we're doing the best we can, and we want outdoor dining in the summertime. But also there are a lot more people that are out on the streets that are, you know, that are begging for money, for cash, for food, for tampons, Ben. Somebody's like asking for tampons, you know, as I'm having my coffee outside. You know, everybody is feeling it. And so what do we need to do? We need to find ways to stabilize people. And that includes housing people first, and then providing them with all the wraparound services that they need, including finding ways for them to be more food secure, finding ways for them to get daycare if needed for their families, finding parental assistance in any other way, and mentoring, finding ways for people to get domestic violence abuse support if they're survivors. And also in the meantime, talking about why it matters that we are talking about inclusivity. And I think about Elise and my trans siblings, that we need more public awareness of why inclusivity matters, and that people have rights to exist. I think about JB signing that law that makes, you know, Illinois a sanctuary state. And we need that at the citywide level too. If we're truly to be a sanctuary city, then we will include everyone, including our trans siblings.
All right, now I'm going to move you on to the next topic that every alder woman or man gets, or alder person, whatever, and that is property taxes. So now you've laid out all the different things that you think the city needs in terms of dealing with crisis intervention and mental health issues. It costs money. And I'm sure wherever you go, when you knock on those doors in the 48th Ward, that's the sound of Lenny knocking on a door, you'll at least at some point confront somebody who's complaining about their property taxes. And if you don't, come over and knock on my door and I'll complain about my property taxes. So what do you propose that the city council do with you as a member to lower the property taxes in the city of Chicago so that we're not so dependent to pay for all these services with the property tax? Go ahead.
Well, I think that, again, I think that it can't be on Chicago to fix this. You know, we are not the ones who created this issue. We really need to look at the state and federal levels and the way that we fund our public schools right now. If we had passed a fair tax like we planned to do, then that would have alleviated a lot of burden on our property owners, but we didn't. So we need to continue to push to pass a fair tax in Illinois, you know. And then the other thing is that we rely too heavily on property taxes in general. And we also are in a housing crisis for affordable housing, Ben. So if we had more affordable housing, if we had more properties, that would actually help with the tax burden. And if we think about it, how is it that we can make it as equitable as possible? That needs to be a citywide strategy, right? It can't fall upon like the 48th Ward to fix the inequities of our public school system and how it's funded. But we do feel, and I hear it all the time. I hear families who have been in their homes for generations and they're having trouble paying their taxes. I hear it from small landlords of people who own the, you know, 2, 3, 4 flats, and they're having trouble both maintaining their building and also keeping long-term rentals in there and also paying property taxes. So we have to figure out ways to make it easier for people to pay their bills and maintain their buildings so that they can keep. I feel very lucky that 24 years ago, after my husband and I graduated from physical therapy school, that we found our way to the 48th Ward. And this building that I'm in now, it's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath on the 3rd floor, Clark and Somerdale. And thankfully, you know, we were able to make it work, but it was only because our landlord offered us affordable rent, which is considered affordable rent right now. And we need more landlords who, and I know I'm switching over from taxes too, but it is all related to affordability. People don't want to leave Chicago because it's become too affordable. So how is it that we can make it affordable for both renters and property owners and house owners to stay in Chicago? Because we have so many things that they want to stay for, but our tax system is broken and we need to fix it at the state level, Ben.
Well, that is for certain. You won't get an argument from me on that. We push very hard on this show for the fair tax, and the voters of the state of Illinois did not agree with me. It wasn't the first time the voters disagreed with me. And so enjoy your property taxes, ladies and gentlemen. I know that's really cruel and mean and nasty of me to say. And that's why if I were running for alderman, I'd never get elected anything. Because I would tell, oh, voters, heck of a job in that last election with that fair tax. You dummies. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean. All right. This is one of my favorite topics to ask any aldermanic candidate. And that has to do with what I call the creeping movement of democracy in the city of Chicago. And I say this wherever I go, whatever forum I'm at. I've been watching with great delight as Chicago becomes more democratic. And why do I mean by that, Lenny? We are about to have an elected school board as opposed to the mayor just appointing the school board and having them be here rubber stamps, which is the way it has been since Mayor Daley in 1995, where, as you pointed out, police councils that will have a say in at least advising or making recommendations about strategies for policing and perhaps even who is the police chief. And then there is a growing movement toward democracy in the Chicago City Council. And I give a lot of the credit to an alderman that you just mentioned, Matt Martin, 47th Ward Alderman, who rebelled about 3 or 4 months ago and asked that he get to be the chair of the Ethics Committee. I know that sounds funny, an Ethics Committee in the City of Chicago, but there is one, because the incumbent chair had stepped down. And there was a vacancy, and it's not very democratic for the mayor, who is the executive, to choose the legislative branch's council chairs. That is the exact opposite of the whole concept of a government in which one branch looks out for, has its own power as a check and balance on the other branch. So here's the question. No ducking and dodging, Lenny. If you are Alderwoman Lenny, would you go side with Matt Martin on allowing the alderwomen and aldermen to determine who the chairs are, or would you side with Lori Lightfoot, Mayor Lightfoot, and say that we need the mayor to determine chairs? Go.
Well, firstly, you presumed that I would be as alderwoman under a Mayor Lightfoot administration. So, number one. And then two, I am for what Matt did. I thought it was great. And me too, we need to push for progress because we live in Chicago. You know, we are blue through and through. And that's who we are. We want to move forward. And what we have done in the past is, we need to empower city council to do its job, which is to make the city work for all of us, every single one of us. That's the job of an alderperson, and we need to work together to do that. And that includes with the mayor.
So in other words, you're saying let the council pick its own chairs.
Yeah, I mean, truly, I'm not in the room to know exactly what the process has been, but I love that Matt Martin did that. I love that he did that. And the fact that I didn't know what the process was, the fact that he did that and it created a little bit of a bubble, great. Let's talk about it more. Why has it been like that in the past? And does it work? Who does it work for? And why? That's what I want to know. That's why I want to run for alderwoman, because I want to be at that table, Ben. I need to be at that table to hear the conversations. I don't know what I don't know.
I can't. If you get to be alderwoman and you're at the table hearing the conversations, please feel free to come on the show and tell us what they're saying behind the scenes, so that we, the people, know. I've been looking on the outside looking in for 40 years, Lenny. I have no idea what they say.
Oh, get me elected, Ben. I will share everything with you. Transparency is like, it's my water. I love it. I think it's really important. Democracy really depends on integrity of our systems, right? And that means empowering the people to be engaged. But, the one thing that we've been fighting for far too long is not, even the extremism, it's apathy. Yeah. Because in Chicago, that's what happens when people are apathetic, they don't vote. And especially when it's in the middle of December, in the middle of wintertime, February 28th is election day. And people are like, I just voted. Yeah, but the next vote is going to be the most important one. So you got to get out to vote. Oh, okay. If I have, time that day. No, Ben, you make a plan to vote. You make a plan to vote. Do you make a plan to vote?
Yes, you're preaching to the choir in this one, Lenny. I always laugh when people, I got to vote again? Oh, poor little baby. I love voting. I've never missed an election. It's just the concept, the idea of not voting is just so foreign and alien to me. And yet I realize I'm in the minority. We are in the minority, Lenny. In the last mayoral election, I believe it was around 35% of the people voted, of the registered voters voted. I'm not great at math, okay? But I believe that means 65% did not vote. And the last time I looked, and I just want you to know, Lenny, I took algebra when I was in high school. The last time I looked, 65 is more than 35. So, yes, we are in the minority, and that is pathetic. And that is really pathetic.
Yeah, I was an election coordinator, you know, in 2018. And by the way, if you want to work on election day and be an election judge or election coordinator, I mean, those are paid positions, but that's a great way to participate on election day too. But I was so excited, you know, I had been doing the work of registering voters, Ben, and, you know, getting people deputized to become deputy voter registrars. And then I signed up to work all day at the polls at the Swedish American Museum in Andersonville. And then the next day I saw what the turnout was. Do you know what the turnout was, Ben? It was 32%. It's 32% in my precinct. Yeah. And I went to my committee woman and I said, what the shit is this? What this is nuts. Like at the federal level, we're fighting every day for our democracy. And at the local levels, no one should we go to vote, but 32% or something nuts like that. It turns out that that's like a normal percentage, Ben. That shouldn't be normal. We should normalize, you know, 100% turnout and not 30% turnout. That's not going to help any kind of democracy if people don't get out to vote, you know? I'm talking about the people who are registered to vote.
I understand. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I agree. And it's something that you and I will always see eye to eye on. All right, Lenny, we pretty much run out of time here on this interview. So I'll give you a final chance just to spell your name for people. If they like what they heard, they want to reach out to you, or if they dislike what they heard, they want to write you an angry letter. Hey, don't do that. All right. Just keep it to yourself. So spell your name, Lenny, go ahead.
Lenny Manah Hoppenworth, LENIMANAAHOPPENWORTH. I have a website, LennyFor48.com. My name will be the longest on the ballot for alderwoman of the 48th ward. I'm a queer woman of color, the daughter of Filipino immigrants, and representation matters. And Ben, we all do better when we all do better, period.
All right, very good, Lenny. Thank you so much. Best of luck to you, and I'll be talking to you one way or the other real soon, all right?
Thanks, Ben.
All right, that's Lenny. I'm Ben. Take care, everybody.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.